Hey, welcome into the post-game mini-podcast. I'm Eric Kane, alongside Austin Price and Brent Hubbs. Tennessee, a 24-17 winner on the third Saturday in October over Alabama. This is kind of a lot of the same, right? The first half, Austin, you had Tennessee's offense really struggling, Tennessee's defense keeping you in the football game. You had the run game. You had Dylan Sampson come back in the third quarter. Tennessee and Alabama kind of took each other's leads back and forth, and finally Tennessee pulled away there in the fourth quarter. End of the day, huge win for Tennessee. It's a win over your rival. You're now 6-1 and has some momentum heading into the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the next 2 weeks a heck of a lot more enjoyable. And Tennessee found a way. They persevered. And that was really the common theme I heard out of recruits tonight, was like Tennessee overcame. They persevered when things didn't go their way. And, you know, really, really impressed by just kind of how the team gutted through it, you know, to be honest with you. And then, I mean, found a way defensively. Brent, Tim Banks deserves his flowers and then some. And, you know,
he's printing cash like Chick-fil-A on Saturday.
He will either be a head coach at the end of the year, or he will name his price to Tennessee and he'll be a very rich man. I told him that on the field. I said, you're either going to be a head coach or you're going to be naming your price here. You know, I will say this. I joked with you on the 2 minute, Brent. Like, here we are again, like deja vu of last week. The fact that Tennessee doesn't score a point in the first half. This is three games in a row they didn't score a point in the first half. All of a sudden, second half, here comes Dylan Sampson doing his thing. He goes over 100 yards again. Tennessee puts up over 20 points in the second half, and they find a way to win the football game. 2 weeks from now, I'm just starting with the number three on the quarter sign when the game starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, Eric, when you look at this thing, it's bizarre. I mean, it's just unusual to see that this is kind of what this offense is. They've got to get it fixed, okay? You can't be doing this. But, man, I mean, what the defense has done in the last 3 weeks to give you a chance, their last three games to give you a chance to win all those games is remarkable. And I thought Jalen Milroe looked like he was playing in his first hostile environment tonight. When you look back at his big wins against quality opponents, they've all been at home or they've all been on a neutral site field. I thought he looked bothered by the crowd tonight. I thought that showed up. And again, give Tennessee's defense a ton of credit for creating that, but give the crowd some credit too. I thought they got him rattled pretty good tonight.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, of course, we'll talk about the defense and how the crowd and the defense affected the game and all that over the course of the next couple of minutes. I do want to give a shout out to our friends for being the presenting sponsor of this post-game mini-pod. That is GBO Snacks, officially licensed snack of Tennessee Athletics. Whether you're hungry at work or road trip, just need a little pick-me-up, GBO Snacks is the perfect choice to satisfy that Rocky Top craving. The Vol bars are made of toasted oats, almonds, 100% real chocolate, with just the amount of right of protein to satisfy that afternoon hunger. Ideal for grab and go, the gluten-free Vol cookies are a must-have for the kids while managing those sweet cravings wherever you go. And with every purchase of GBO Snacks, you're contributing to the UT Athletics proceeds from every sale going directly to support the amazing Vol student-athletes. Order yours today. Visit GBOsnacks.com. That is www.GBOsnacks.com. Go Big Orange. Yeah, I thought Jalen Milroe rattled on third down. That defense just continued to get after him. Several penalties. Everybody was saying, well, you know, no light bulb penalties. And, you know, I'm going to talk about these pre-snap penalties. But, you know, Alabama got flagged, what was it, 11 times tonight for 15 times for 115 yards.
And a holding. They had a holding call against them.
I know. I thought there were still a couple that were missed, though. I thought the crowd played a huge factor. And that was kind of one of my keys, Austin, coming into the game. I thought it was so evenly matched that, you know, Tennessee's crowd playing at home is going to have to be a factor. It certainly was. Jalen Milroe was beside himself on a couple of those plays.
The crowd was unmatched tonight, Eric. I mean, it really was. It was fantastic. It was good last week, but it was way better this week. And, you know, I thought the final score was 26-17 because they should have been hit with a safety because James Pierce got held in the end zone.
Yep.
And they didn't call it. So, I mean, you know, the Tennessee made their life a living hell and did it in a way when Alabama, you know, probably could have been called for a few more holding calls and they weren't. So, you know, Tennessee's defense just got after it, you know, just really, really impressed by just the overall deal. And I mean, Will Brooks, man, what about Will Brooks? I mean, Hub said on the 2 minute drill that legend's going to like that story's going to grow over the next 30 or 40 years. Good for him. That dude took nothing but criticism all August.
Stray after stray after stray.
And all he's done has been one of Tennessee's most consistent defensive players. Arion Carter continues to play well. Yeah. Jermaine McCoy is a dude. I mean, a dude. Ricky Gibson played good football. I mean, like, you know, I mean, he was in position even on some of the passes that, you know, they completed on him. I mean, just as a whole, the defense just, I mean, they just seem like they're having a good time, man. Like, they're such a cohesive unit and just a core group of guys that just lead.
We continue to talk about this. It feels like every single week it's the offense can't really figure it out. It's that defense not only keeping you in the football game, but you're asking your defense, like, hey, come up here for me. You know, come back, you know, help us out, help us out, help us out. They do that, much like Florida. Like, you just continue to ask them, and a couple of those scoring drives for Alabama, it just kind of made it look easy. But they were probably tired, so tired. Yet finally, the offense kind of comes around. I echo what Austin said. I thought Jermaine McCoy was fantastic. James Pierce continues to be active. That defense is special. Like, I kind of said this on a show entering the game that I did earlier in the week. This point in the season, like, sure, has Tennessee faced a juggernaut offense? Not until tonight. And obviously, this is the best offense Tennessee has faced. But you kind of are who you are. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee is a really, really good defense. And that was on full display once again tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, you talk about McCoy, and we've talked about Jamad and the fact that he's been Tennessee's best transfer, most impactful transfer, terrific interception in the end zone. But hey, how about Jamad McCoy's out of the game because he got kicked in the back? Alabama recognizes it. They got Tim Banks, with complete trust in Ricky Gibson, goes straight man coverage on the outside and inside the red zone. And Ricky Gibson, on back-to-back plays, defends that ball there and gets
he was in better position than the receiver was.
I mean, I'm just telling – I mean, that's the growth. Josh Heupel, I remember we were down in the Lauricella Center after the first scrimmage, and Josh Heupel said, I really like my corners. I like the way the corners played and scrimmaged. I like where they're at. Those guys have played well. That whole defense is certainly playing well. And, you know, offensively.
Protection was better.
It was.
Protection was better.
And you're on the cusp. You're there. You just got to go make.
You got to go make plays. Yeah. I mean, again, you're
and
so close.
And that's the difference in the first half and the second half. They made three or four explosive plays in the second half, and that was the difference, because they were not going to drive it 12, 14 plays and grind it out. They had to have explosives. You look at their first scoring drive in the second half. Samson gets loose on a big run. Nico with the big scramble. Bam, you're in the red zone inside the 10. Go score time. 55-yard pass to Dante Thornton. Explosive play. Bam, score. You get down here to the short field. Josh Heupel, to his credit, plays field position. He punts the football. Jackson Ross delivers the punt inside the 5. You get the stop. You get great field position. What do? You capitalize with the Brazzle touchdown. You got to make explosive plays, and Tennessee made enough of them.
Okay, let's talk about explosive plays. Who has been Mr. Explosive Play for Tennessee's passing game this year?
Dante Thornton.
Why does he not play more? I just don't grasp it. Can you grasp it? Somebody make it make sense for me.
Here's what I have issue with, and we'll see a lot more when we go back and watch the tape tomorrow. I love Squirrel White. I love the way he plays. I love the way he's a teammate. I love how he battled through injury. And of course, he got knocked around a little bit tonight. And you're right. I hope he's okay. But if Squirrel White, Brent, can't make a two-handed catch, get him out of the football game. That's why I have issues. It's like, okay, well, move some guys around. Get guys like Thornton in the football game. I know he's not playing in the slot, but for as inconsistent, especially early on, that Nico was, and he missed on some throws, boy, his receivers did not help him. And part of that, I think, is like Squirrel just trying to gut it out. And it's like, dude, if you're not 100%, get out. Because I think at points in times, he was not really helping the offense.
Well, you've got to go, and I don't want to sound like a coach, but it's got to be all 11 people. I mean, when you get it blocked and you get somebody wide open, the quarterback can't overthrow him, right? You got to hit it. When it hits him in the hands, you got to catch the football. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like you're sitting there going, I don't think they're this bad, but man, they just can't execute. They can't get out of their own way. Is what it feels
like.
I
mean, look at the Dylan Sampson fumble. I mean, they went again. It looks like it was like, I felt like it was like, God, did they accidentally play the Florida game from last week? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, what happened? You know, but I'm with you. Like, I mean, everybody wants to throw it on Nico. And don't get me wrong, Nico's when he the pick was God. I mean, that was just awful.
Horrendous.
And because I mean, everybody was like, just throw it away, just throw it away.
All four of us up there, we were throwing away.
What just happened? But like, yeah, I mean, like the overthrows were bad. I get it. Like, I mean, he didn't have his best game, and that's becoming a routine, you know, common talking point, you know, especially early in the games. But like when he did hit him in the hands, like nobody wanted to hear that. Like, oh, you know, and I'm like, he had like three or four drops. Like it was just like, come on, everybody's got to work together. And that's why Josh Heupel keeps belaboring the point of it's not just one person.
Yeah. I wrote in the game thread tonight, and I'm sure people, you know, saw it and understood and shook their heads, you know.
in great agreement, right?
Yeah, in great agreement. It is literally, I mean, Nico missed some tonight early on. I mean, he did, and he's got to be better. Again, echoing that interception, boy, that was bad. But again, Brew McCoy, who was his go-to guy early on, dropped a pass. Chris Brazel dropped a pass. Squirrel White dropped a pass. Squirrel White did get two hands on it one time, dropped a pass. I mean, it's like when Nico was on, his receivers were letting him down. When his receivers were doing the job and getting open, Nico wasn't connecting. And it was frustrating because we've seen that so much. But again, it did come around there in the second half. Tennessee is a third quarter football team. And because that defense kept you in the football game the entire night, you were able to chip away, take a lead, get a lead again, and then ultimately win this football game.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, Austin said it for two or three weeks, and he's exactly right. Just find a way, survive in advance, and move forward. What you hope is that you thought maybe last week, right? Okay, they win in overtime, they get it out, they get the offense going, okay, they're close, here we go, and you figured it out. And you're sitting here going, well, that wasn't the case. So now you leave here tonight going, maybe because they made some critical plays and some splash plays in the fourth quarter, you know, in the third quarter when they had to have it, maybe it's starting to come around because they're going to have to score some points in the first half. They can't keep doing what they're doing to this defense. But again, we can belabor and we'll belabor the offense all week long in the next 2 weeks for sure because that's what everybody's going to talk about. You just can't give this defense enough credit for what they're doing now. I mean, the script, and I know it was written, I think Chris Lowe wrote, used this phrase, and I'm not trying to steal it from him, but the script is flipped on what the makeup of the program is for this team. Now, I'm not saying it's this way for forever, that this is what they're going to be, but for them to be able to be a defensive-led football team, to be where they're setting at, with a chance to still to be in the playoff race all the way through the rest of the season is pretty remarkable. And this defense, Rodney Garner, Willie Martinez, the corners coach, corners playing pretty well. William Inge has been a nice addition to this coaching staff and what he's done with those linebackers. They deserve all the praise, and they should get plenty of praise for what they've done because – this defense is lights out right now. They're playing really good football.
Yeah, and to your point about kind of how you're finding ways to win football games and kind of the makeup of your team, Josh Heupel said in the postgame press conference, Austin, take these two wins against Alabama. In 2022, you better score in every possession. You better score in every possession and take advantage of all that. You know, this time around, it was your defense continuously making stops. And if he said that defense had an elite performance once, he said it probably four or five times. Josh Heupel pleased with his defense after this win.
Well, he should be. I mean, he knows. I mean, he knows Tim Banks has bailed him out when the offense has been not very good.
He missed the Will Brooks interception because he was in the playbook getting ready in case they got the ball back. That's what he said.
I didn't miss it. I was looking at the Jumbotron. I was flipping sides of the field, and I looked up, and I literally just said, wow, Will Brooks, Alabama. Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, yeah, like sure. That's just such an awesome story for a kid that's from there. But, just got to hang your hat and just we've talked about it. Hubs, you brought it up, you know, me saying it. Like, you know, you got to this point in the season. Now you don't have to be perfect in November. I mean, you do have a little bit of wiggle room, but you got to play well. And guess what? With this defense – the defense is going to travel to Athens, Georgia. They may not beat Georgia. Tough place to play. That place will be rocking. But the defense will keep them in the game because the defense, I just don't see it going anywhere. Like, I just think that they're good at every level. Now, they're thin at linebacker, but like Arion Carter, T. Lander, Caleb Perry, the back end's doing really, really well. And again, you know, think about the most maligned people in this program the last two or three years. Will Brooks, Tim Banks, Willie Martinez. Again, when you have talent, you know, then all that, you know, all that chatter about, oh, he's terrible, third and Banks and all that nonsense goes away. You know, they've built this thing through recruiting and a little bit the portal. Don't get me wrong. They've had some nice pieces. Jackson Moy continues to play well.
But their development should not be undersold.
There you go. There you go. And again, they built it through recruiting. Josh Heupel, I think in his mind, thinks, okay, I can take this guy, and this guy and go win. I'm going to add just a ton of defensive guys. And they have. I mean, like, you just look at all the pieces they've brought in, you know, to this program from the high school ranks and where they're at now. I mean, kudos. And, again, they've taken also some guys like Bryson Eason and Big Omari Thomas and that were, you know, were here from the previous staff, and they're getting their best football out of those guys.
Yeah, they are. I'm going to tell you, and the defensive line gets a ton of credit for this because they rattled Jalen Milroe, and Milroe's responsible for this because he was inaccurate. But the stat of the night, when you look at Alabama offensively, aside the individual stat of the night, Ryan Williams only had two catches in the second half, okay, for 19 yards. But he had 7 yards after the catch. That guy coming into this game had 340-something yards after the catch. Tennessee talked about it. Tim Banks talked about it this week when he met the media. You got to get him on the ground. You can't let him catch and run. Now, he didn't have a ton of opportunities to catch and run because Milroe was all over the map with the football thanks to the defensive front.
That guy's still special. I mean, he's not very accurate. Yeah. But, dude, when he breaks contain, geez.
But to not let them have catch and run plays
was
really big and really, really important. And they deserve a lot of credit for that because they did a really good job of limiting those types of plays in this game tonight. So, again, that's not all in the secondary, but they did tackle well. They didn't have a busted – they didn't have a busted tackle. They didn't let a guy just get completely away from them. A couple of times they were wide open and Milroe missed him. But again, I thought the defense brought it, and I think Josh Heupel leaned on him. I mean, again, I think the decision on 4th and 6 at midfield, Josh Heupel's temptation as an offensive guy is always to go for it.
Yeah,
play field position there, and look what it got you out of it. It got you the ball game.
It was a conversation that we had a couple of times tonight. I was like, well, in this 3rd and 10, if you get 5, he's probably going for it. If you don't, he needs a punt and play field position. About Ryan Williams, he had a tremendous first half, of course. If you still thought Ryan Williams touched the ball way too much, he had 8 receptions. Guess how many targets Ryan Williams got in this football game? You thought Hendon Hooker threw it to Cedric Tillman a lot? 19 targets. 19 targets to Ryan Williams tonight. He had 8 receptions. So, and you're right, that yard after catch, man, 7? When he came in.
That's a big number. I mean, that's a hellacious job by the defense to tackle. I mean, to get them on the ground was really good. And again, I mean, Tennessee had 9 TFLs, had 3 sacks, 2 interceptions, PBU.
James Pierce continues to play well.
I mean, just, you know, they did what they needed to do.
Their last 4 possessions, the defense, wow. I mean, 3 and out, 3 and out, 4 and out, and interception.
And how about very 04 Florida Tennessee-esque Boo Carter down there, jawing with the guy.
Gets that extra.
and he slaps him, and Boo slaps him right back, and he gets called on the Alabama guy. I was like, what are you doing, man? Like, it made it 4th and 22 at the end of the game.
Yeah, the only difference is Boo actually swung second. Dallas Baker swung second, and he got caught, Jonathan Wade. And a lot of former Vols here tonight, too, man. I mean, you know, Darnell Wright, you know, obviously, you know, Alvin and Alante Taylor.
Alvin broke up the press. Did you see that? He broke up the press conference.
No, Josh Heupel.
He poked his head through there and said, hey.
That's fantastic. I was out there doing the recruits.
It was a classic Alvin for sure.
You know, but I mean, just a lot of guys are having fun. But, you know, I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of classes that went through in the last 15 years that never got to smoke a cigar. And, you know, I mean, those kind of guys that never have are they get, you know, they're lighting them up and having a good time doing it. So, you know, for all the talk and all the gnashing of teeth in the first half, how much things change in just a half of football.
Put this in perspective right here, okay? And again, like Brent said, we're gonna talk about the offense. We're going to talk about how this team can get better. I mean, second bye week's here. I think it's coming at a perfect time because the offense got to figure some things out. But look at this. Tennessee has beaten Alabama and Florida 4 combined times since Josh Heupel became Tennessee's coach in 21. From 07 to 2020, Tennessee was 1 and 27 against Alabama and Florida. I mean, that some consistency here with Josh Heupel against a big your big three, your big rivals. I know Georgia's left on schedule, but that's quite a step.
No doubt. And again, you want it all to be pretty, right? You want all the points. You got all the things you've got to correct, and you have to correct those things. But just like I said last week, because you've seen Tennessee lose to Florida in a million different ways, okay? You've seen Tennessee lose to Alabama in a million different ways as well, and some bizarre games and everything else. You're never going to say, well, you know, I guess it was good to win, but it wasn't. No. You're not taking anything away from winning this football game and winning last week. And again, however you got to get there. We talked about it, Austin and Eric, and all the summertime stuff. We started looking at this schedule. What do you got to be? Where you got to be? You had to be no more than a one-loss team going into the second bye, and that's what Tennessee's done. They had to win the last two games at home. You had to hold serve at home. It wasn't pretty, but you found a way to do both of them.
And you know, there'll be some tough games. Kentucky's a good defensive team. You know, they'll be. I mean, again, I would still take Tennessee. That's what Tennessee owns. Kentucky, like kind of Florida's own Tennessee over the years. But you know, that'll be a tougher game, especially if Tennessee continues to sputter offensively. And then Vanderbilt at the end of the year. Vanderbilt's really good, but this, if Tennessee just beats Mississippi State and Kentucky, you know, they're beating UTEP. No matter what happens in Athens, they're going to be playing for the playoffs still when they go to Vanderbilt, which is good because Vanderbilt will make that their Super Bowl. And I told you that coming up the steps. I thought tonight was big on a number of fronts. You did not want to go into potentially that Vanderbilt game with, you know, nothing on the line. If, as long as you take care of business like you're supposed to against the teams you're favored to beat from here on out, then, you know, you're going to go into that last game with, you know, plenty of motivation.
Yeah, but you just talk about the growth and the maturity and development of the program, Eric. I mean, winning close games, finding ways has been a bugaboo, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can go back to, you know, the Terrence Cody block. Tennessee couldn't get that one. Okay, that was a better Alabama team, whatever. But you couldn't get over that hump of winning close games, right? Tennessee under Josh Heupel in a variety of ways against rival opponents, games you're judged by, has mm-hmm. found ways to win. Now, it's been at home. It hadn't been on the road. I know all that. But they found ways to win, and they found a way to win tonight. And, again, ride it. I mean, it's stressful. It's gray hair, all those types of things. But, man, it's a good ride. Ride it.
Yeah, and again, the offense was so gross. You Texas saw it halftime. It was gross. I mean, it was gross. But you improved. You put points on the board. And like you said earlier in the show, man, like, you beat Alabama. Like, don't apologize for it. You are 6-1 on the season. You have a bye at the perfect time. As frustrating as it just wasn't in sync, that offense, we still think that it's right there. You got guys running open against, you know, Florida secondary, Alabama secondary. Like, you are a good football team. You are 3-1 in Southeastern Conference play. You are 6-1. You're in great position for the college football playoffs, and you get a rest up and reset this week. So, yeah, ride it. Ride this sucker out. I mean, it's much better beating Alabama going to the bye week than losing to Alabama going into the bye week. Do you want to give a big thanks to our friends over at GBO Snacks for being a proud sponsor of the show. Again, GBO Snacks, you're contributing to UT Athletics. As proceeds from every sale go directly to support the amazing student-athletes. Order yours today at GBOsnacks.com. That is GBOsnacks.com. Go Big Orange. All right, Tennessee beat Florida in overtime last week. Tennessee beat Alabama this week 24-17. Pretty good 2-week stretch here, Austin Price. And again, it's a bye week, time to reset, get healthy, and try to fix that offense. And I'm sure that'll be a focus this week.
Yeah, try to use this as a 2-week jaunt to get some of those younger players better, get guys healthy, and again, get ready for the big stretch run, because you had 4 bye, then 3, then a bye. Now you got 5. 5 in a row in the month of November. And, you know, again, there'll be some of them that are tough. You'll be favored in most of them, but you're still going to have to come and take care of business. But as long as Tennessee's got Tim Banks calling the defense and the defense playing the way it is, then they'll be in pretty good shape.
Pretty good when you can win in the line of scrimmage on the defensive side, and Tennessee is playing on their side of the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I mean, there were times Milroe had a lot of time. They didn't get pressure there, but, boy, in the second half, they got after him really well. So, fun game, and big-time win for Tennessee, however means by any – it's like the old – What's the movie where the kid's arm's really good and then he loses his arm?
That's like, what I call it. Like, I said that rookie of the year. Yeah, he was Henry Rowengardner.
By any means necessary. Just you do it, whatever you do.
Well,
it,
I said that about when Nico got hit and came back in, and all of a sudden he started to look like he was a little sharper, and I said maybe that was his Henry Rowengardner moment.
But I mean, just however you got to do it,
float
you
do it, baby, float it.
And Tennessee is doing it however they got to do it. That's how they got the win tonight.
Hey, all I know is my kid's 2-0 watching Alabama at home. I'll be taking donations on how to get her to Tuscaloosa next year. Last year, I tried to get her to go, and she goes, Dad, because she had never watched Tennessee lose ever in person. That since got broke because she was at a basketball game they lost against South Carolina. But she's like, Dad, I just don't think they're going to win. I don't want to break my streak. But now a little pressure's on Addison. A little pressure's on her.
24-17, Tennessee has won back-to-back games over Alabama at home for the first time since 04 and 06. Quite a good night here at Neyland Stadium. Field stormed. Goalposts are no longer down there. There's chunks of the field that's out. You just beat your one of your biggest rivals. So celebrate heading on into the bye week. We're going to have plenty of coverage all night long, all tomorrow, all week long, getting you set for Tennessee and Kentucky here in a little bit. But here from Neyland Stadium here late on a Saturday night, Tennessee a 24-17 winner. With Brent Hubbs, I'm Eric Kane and Austin Price. Thanks so much for being here on the postgame mini pod.